This podcast is for informational purposes only and does not constitute legal, tax, investment, financial, or other advice. It is not intended to cause or induce breach of an existing agency agreement.
The goal of this podcast since day one is to provide the best information on the Vancouver real estate market at no cost to you, the listeners. To that end, we'd like to thank the following sponsors.
This podcast is sponsored by Marcon, a local family-owned and managed real estate development and construction company that's been around for nearly four decades. Marcon is not only committed to high-quality construction, but it also is making a positive impact in the communities in which it builds, all across the Lower Mainland.
We want to highlight two incredible Marcon projects. Elmwood, a 38-story tower located at Burquitlam's most important intersection, Como Lake Avenue and Clark Road. This landmark tower will feature 335 condominiums, over 37,000 square feet of office and retail space, and almost 20,000 square feet of amenity space. Elmwood has been incredibly popular with 80% sold currently, but they still have a great selection of junior one-bedroom all the way to three-bedroom homes remaining. Check out marcon.ca/elmwood for more.
And Matt, we are also excited about Soane House, Marcon's newest community in West Coquitlam, with 165 homes ranging from junior one beds to three beds. Soane House offers the perfect West Coast aesthetic with a more nuanced Nordic-inspired design. Register today at marcon.ca/soanehouse. That's S-O-E-N-H-A-U-S. Or you can learn more at marcon.ca or follow them at Instagram at Marcon Homes.
Marcon, building for life.
This episode was originally recorded on September 5th, 2019. Enjoy.
Hello?
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 This is the Vancouver Real Estate Podcast.
And welcome back to Vancouver Real Estate Podcast. I'm your host, Adam Sklina.
And I'm your other host, Matt Sklina.
And Matt, we've got a phenomenal show for you today.
We do.
Bore on the floor secret. It is time to get started.
I said
started.
Bore on the floor secret.
Of course, that's a reference to HBO Succession.
Of course it is.
Which we should say, you're almost caught up. You're like season two, episode three.
Season two, episode three. If you're not watching Succession,
what are you doing?
You should be. The other thing that came out of our talk about Succession was you didn't have HBO until about a week ago. It turns out it's only $15 or something.
I know. So I've been sitting on the fence going, I don't need another $50 payment. And turns out it was like $12. Like, we added it. And also, it opened up all these shows that we had previously
and
purchased iTunes.
Yeah, which
we bought season one of Succession for like 50 payments of HBO. Like, that's how much it costs. Like, I did the math.
But now,
like,
you own them.
Now we have. Yeah, exactly. I'll watch it on an airplane when we lose Wi-Fi at some point. But it's honestly, though, having HBO is a game changer for me. This
totally.
Is crazy that it took so long.
I when you said that, I was like, come again? Like, I couldn't believe that.
Yeah.
For Succession alone, can we say there's not a show out there that's as good as Succession right now. I'm going to go out and say that now.
And side note, I just had a client text me that I look like...
this is incredible.
What's his name?
Kendall.
Again? Kendall. Kendall Roy.
Kendall Roy, who before your client texted you this, I specifically said, man, they chose that actor perfectly because he's not unattractive, but he's clearly a loser.
Yeah. And then moments later, I got a text. That said,
within
5 minutes of you saying that, I actually thought you were texting me. It was actually a client saying, man, your gestures, the way you talk, everything reminds me exactly of Kendall Roy. And so anyways, I'm feeling great about myself. Mel and Dave Dupuy are on the show today.
This is a great episode. These guys are investors out of Ontario. But what I like about these guys is they basically went from one or two properties. They bought 12 properties in a year. Now they have 100 doors. And it sounds like, you know, within the next 3 months or something, they're going to have added another 100.
Can we just pull back and talk about that? 100 doors multifamily investors. They did 12 properties in 12 months.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And they talk about how they did that, how they got the financing, what they look for in deals. The type of cash flow in North Bay, Ontario is kind of incredible as well.
Yeah, no kidding. Like, it is a different world, but it's one that's going to be very interesting to you if you're an investor. And also, if you're just interested in real estate, the way that we unpack certain strategies in this episode, I think you'll find very captivating for sure.
Yeah, for sure. No, it's a really good conversation.
And just quickly, while we're still on the topic of Mel and Dave, like they're on a family trip, and I'll let them tell this story, but basically it's a family trip. They decide that when they get back, it's go time for 2017. And it's unbelievable the trajectory from 2017 to 2019.
Let's just say, think of our episode at the start of this last year where we talked about losing 10 pounds. They actually did it.
Yeah, yeah.
In this case, it's like the equivalent of losing like 60 pounds.
But on a side note, Matt, it's probably easier to buy 100 doors than lose 10 pounds for you.
All right. Well, wait. But before we get to Mel and Dave, there's one more thing to talk about. It's the stats that came out this morning. So August was busy.
It was a lot busier than previous August, which we should say. What are the stats here?
Well, the stat is August 2019 was almost, sales were up 16% over August 2018.
Wow.
So it's still below the 10-year average. So if you're looking for trends here, July was up, second busiest month of 2019, and August kind of surprised everyone as well. So who knows? It sounds like, the general sentiment out there is it's going to be a busier fall than spring, and I think the August numbers kind of prove that.
Yeah, and you know what? It feels busier out there for sure, especially in the price bands that, again, you know, I feel like we're beating the same dead horse here, but in the price bands where the local markets are very active, right?
Well, here's a teaser, Adam, for you and for listeners that are not signed up to the Livewire, because we send out the real estate board stats. They're going out today. We also send out the sales ratios for specific sub areas and specific price bands, right? And that's something that you can't get anywhere else. If you're looking at downtown, condos and townhomes selling downtown in August, and you look at the sales ratios,
okay,
there is only one market under 1.25 that is under a 30% sales ratio.
Wow.
Which is incredible, right? Like that's
so
back in
fairly aggressive sellers markets in all sub markets, all sub price bands under 1.25.
Under 600K, we're looking at basically close to 50%. Actually, under 700K, we're looking at basically close to 50%. And every other market below 1.25, except the 900 to a million, which was at 23%. But other than that, like it's busy downtown, and that's just one teaser, because you can get this whole package and check it out yourself.
And we break it down actually by all the different sub-bands.
That's
right. So sub-areas and sub-price points. So definitely sign up for the Livewire. It's something that we send out on a weekly basis, and it does have that stats package.
And those stats are going out today. And one last thing, Adam. Before we go to our talk with Mel and Dave here, we got a couple books, Vancouverism by Larry Beasley, to give away.
We do.
And thanks again for... We had a bunch more people... leave reviews this week,
but not too many that your chances of winning have gone down.
let's be clear,
we've had about 75 reviews or so. And how can people actually leave reviews and get entered into a draw to win the book?
If you're just coming to this, we have signed copies of Vancouverism. This is Larry Beasley's new book about Vancouver. He's signed all the books we have to give away. What we're doing is we're drawing a name out of the review hat that we have. And how do you get your name in this review hat? It's very simple. You go to you Google Vancouver Real Estate Podcast. You go to the right-hand side. There's the business profile. You can click review. You write a review. Your name goes in the hat. We draw a winner. We have another winner today. We'll save this, though, for after our conversation with Mel and Dave, which we should cut to right now.
Yeah, we should cut to that. And I mean, even if you are leaving a review, even if you don't win, you're helping us grow, which we appreciate. And also you get a chance to have your name in Secret's bowler cap free of charge.
Yeah.
Here's our interview with Mel and Dave Dupuy.
Enjoy, guys.
Okay, so we're here with Mel and Dave Dupuy. real estate investors and best-selling authors. Also, 100 Doors, Matt, if you can believe that, specializing in multifamily.
That's incredible.
Welcome, Mel and Dave.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having us on.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for taking the time.
Oh, our pleasure.
Can you start by telling us a little bit about yourselves?
Sure. So Dave and I, when we met, Dave and I, we both had a passion for real estate investing. I had two properties and Dave had the one. And we had the same love for it. So we decided, hey, let's start doing this more and more. So we slowly build our portfolio, you know, just one at a time over a couple of years. And then a few years afterwards, we discovered the power of working with other people, so other people's money. And that's when we were able to buy the 12 properties in 12 months. And we've been buying ever since. And we're now at 100 doors. And we have, how many under contract?
We've got three or four deals at the bank right now under contract. So if those get approved, which fingers crossed, I think we had another 70 to 80 doors. So we could almost be doubling our portfolio in the next couple of months, which is super exciting.
That is exciting. So there's a lot to unpack there, but maybe we can start with, how did you guys get your interest in real estate? Like where did you get your start?
Yeah. And honestly, it's always been like, even in high school, I remember a friend of mine, we played hockey together and his dad had rental properties. And he had a book, and I forget what it's called. I really wish I knew the name. But I read it, and it talked about how millionaires mostly deal with real estate and that type of thing, or it's made through real estate. I think it's, what is it, Mel? Like 90% or something of millionaires. But yeah, so it just always piqued my interest. Like, who doesn't want to be a millionaire? So, and then like Mel said, I had one rental property. Guys, I was scared. Not going to lie. Like, I was worried, barriers. Super paranoid on everything. And then Mel came along and just basically showed me like, hey, you do a lease, you know, you rent it out. It's not rocket science, just kind of get her done and you'll learn as you go. And as soon as she took those barriers away, that's when the floodgates just kind of opened.
And Mel, how, I guess the same question, how did you get your start? But how did you, because we deal with a lot of kind of mom and pop investors out here on the West Coast who talk about, there's a lot of anxiety around, especially when you're getting your start. Can you talk about how you got your start, but also how you were able to kind of remove those barriers that Dave's talking about prior to meeting Dave?
I think it was just, I saw the value in it. I saw the value that, hey, if I can make $1,000, say off a duplex, and okay, there's going to be, I might get a non-payment of rent for a couple of months. Okay, so that's, say, $3,000. Well, I'm still ahead by how much for the year. So I was always looking at the overall picture instead of just, okay, what if somebody doesn't pay their rent 1 month? Or what if, I get a midnight call for a plug toilet, which never happens, although everybody says that. those kind of things. It was just kind of, I'll just deal with it. It was my thing. And for sure, certain things happened, but it wasn't as bad as what I thought it would be. And then when we started doing it, then I got excited because we started putting things behind us. So we, we'd say, hey, if I want to buy this vehicle, then I need to buy another three properties in order to buy this vehicle. So, okay, well, let's do that. So then we'd buy some properties and a portion of that cash flow now pays for those vehicles. And once we started doing that, and okay, next would be the house or trips for the kids. So anything we kind of want, we say, well, in order to do this, we need to keep purchasing properties and growing. And it was kind of our motivation to do so.
And can you talk maybe a little bit about, so you've got a couple properties early on. How do you scale the way you've been able to scale? Like, is it something that was strategic? Did you sit down? Did you kind of create an outline? Or is this something that just, it was one property to the next, to the next, to the next, and now you're looking back and saying, wow, how did we get here? Or was it more kind of, did you actually map it out?
Initially, it was just kind of, I wouldn't say map it out. Well, I guess mapped it out, but we were too cookie cutter. We were too in the box. We weren't thinking outside the box. So, the typical, up the value, refinance, take that, put into the next one. well, that's awesome. However, there's a life cycle in that, and there's a span that you can do that. And I think once we hit about 5 or 6, that didn't work anymore. Or, the bank started not liking the ratios and just different reasons why it didn't work anymore. So that's when, and people had talked to us about vendor take back mortgages and owner financing and that. And I always thought that sounds like, you're trying to sell me snake oil here. It just didn't sound like, what? I can buy a place with no money. And I was like, yeah, I don't want to do that shady stuff. And then we read Rich Dad Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki. And I just started really indulging in podcasts and all that type of stuff. And then I was like, oh my God, I can do this, and it's not backdoor deals and it's all legal and everyone's doing it. Why am I not doing it? So once we hit that point, other people's money and leveraging is insane. But once you figure out how to do it, either seller financing or private money, if done right, the sky's the limit.
And I think a big part of what was holding us back is that we heard of all the nightmares. We heard of the other real estate investors who had tried it and fell, it just weren't successful in it. And it was holding us back a little bit at the beginning. And then we started wondering, well, what went wrong? Like, what could we do differently in order to make sure that if we're going to do this in a big way, we have to make sure we're successful at it. So
picking apart there, not to be mean, but picking apart where they kind of fell is where we made sure to bridge over that and have that safety blanket on those areas.
So we literally had conversation with various people who, whether in the past or they knew somebody and say, hey, what went wrong? And they were willing to share with us. And so now we make sure to learn from their mistakes and ensure that we never do those in our own business.
Yeah.
So it sounds like you're part of, I guess I feel like there's 1,000 questions here. One is your portfolio primarily in North Bay, Ontario?
Correct. Everything. As of today, we're looking Canada-wide now, but as of right now, yes.
Okay, so it's in North Bay. And when did you guys start? The 12 properties in 12 months, which is incredible, but how long ago was that?
The 12 and 12 was 2017.
That's even more recent than I was thinking.
Yeah, no, we were on our family holiday in Florida. We bring the kids to Florida every year. And Mel and I were sitting in Orlando around the pool at the house we rented. And we listened to the audiobook, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And then in 2016, sorry, that's when it was. And then that's when we vowed 2017, we're just lighting it on fire. And that's when we really tore it up.
So then the other thing is vendor take back mortgages and the power of leveraging. I think we've talked a little bit about those types of things on the podcast, but not a ton. Is it possible to kind of walk us through your kind of path towards financial literacy in being able to use other people's money?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll do it in a couple of different, I'll talk about owner financing, / vendor take back, and then I'll talk about kind of private lending. So our bread and butter, and I thank every single one of the owners that, did owner financing with us because it just propelled us. So basically they've got a building for sale. And most of them were private. Most of them were, we found them online. We found them, in the classified. However, it still does happen with realtors, as long as the realtors are on the same page. But basically it's, you got a place for sale. You're a seller, I'm a buyer. I explained to you, I want to grow my portfolio. However, coming up with 20, sometimes 25% of the purchase price is just unrealistic on the scale and the volume that I want to do it at. So I'll buy your building. And it's all negotiated, guys, and I get more into it after. But, I'll buy your building. I can go to the bank. They'll give me 80% or 75% loan to value of the purchase price. And you, because you've owned the building for 20 years, you pay down the mortgage and you hold back the balance. So they're basically holding back your deposit. They're making that deposit for you by holding it back. Now, the win-wins of it is the seller, because they get hit with capital gains when they sell it. So now that first year is the biggest year they get hit. So they're getting hit on capital gains, but the remaining balance, the 20 or 25%, And I'm not an accountant, so look this up. It's just kind of what I, you know, what we kind of do. So don't, you know, take it for what it's worth. But that remaining balance, they now get to spread over 5 years capital gain. So they're, you know, they're not just doing it from the bottom of their hearts. They get a gain as well, right? Like they have a positive, they get a win out of it. And they make points, they make interest on that mortgage that they're holding back. And they're secured against the building. You don't make your payment, you know, they can take their building back. So there's really a lot of pros and cons, not a lot of pros, you know, there's some cons, but as long as you prep yourself and find the right deals and structure it right, it's a pretty awesome way of buying.
And if in situations, and that's happened as well, where of course the person just wants to sell and get out of it, then we look to private lenders. And it's kind of the same thing. We work specifically with the private lenders. We don't have necessarily a cookie cutter strategy or set way that we finance with them. So we'll ask questions to the private lender. So what's your ultimate goal? Do you want your money back in 6 months? Do you want your money back in 5 years? And depending on that question, we're going to find you, because we have a lot of properties. We're always looking at tons of buildings. We'll look at aligning the building with the right private lender that we can work with. So if somebody wants to have their money back in 6 months, then hey, we have a flip. We're going to do the renos. It's going to take 2 months to renos, bring it over to the bank. So in 3 months, we're going to be able to flip it. We always leave a cushion in case something goes wrong on expensive, so we can pay them back, say, within the 6 months. So we ask the questions and we work with the private lenders.
So in just thinking about how quickly you've amassed your doors here, which is kind of incredible. So 2017, 12 properties in 12 months. Where, like, you're talking about different private lenders and the whole process of kind of learning and figuring out these vendor take-back mortgages and finding sellers that are interested in this. Like, this all happened very fast. How did you go through this crash course so quickly?
The crash course kind of happened again. Like once we got our eyes open to it, we spoke to, like Melanie was saying earlier, we spoke to someone else who had done it and had a little bit of failure. So we knew what not to do there.
Right.
And then basically we just started doing up the offers with the lawyers, and it kind of, not that it guided itself, but it was just, here's what we need for the deal. To cash flow, because the deal still has to cash flow. And that's honestly one of the key pieces, guys. We look at deals all the time. For a 100% finance deal to cash flow, it has to be either really underperforming with the potential, or it has to be a strong cash flowing building. Because again, 100% finance, like that's a lot of your cash flow going to paying mortgages, right? So when we do find those ones, we're very, very aggressive, because you know, once that vendor take back or that owner financing is gone, just think of how much more it'll cash flow. So going through with the lawyers, you know, making sure the terms, you know, 25-year amortization to keep the cash flow up, 5-year terms, you know, interest is negotiable. Some sellers are okay with doing interest only payments, which again helps your monthly cash flow. And then after we did a few, we just said, hey, this is how we do it. And then, you know, the sellers either, and it wasn't like a mean way, but this is how we do it. If you're willing, if you're interested, this is what we need to get out of the deal or to get into the deal, and let us know if it works. And right. Sometimes they do say no, right? And that's okay.
And we got very aggressive. We, you know, all over my social media, I would put, hey, we want to buy your social, or we want to buy your rental property. We started having radio ads. So people were calling us, you know, we'd get 10 calls in the morning every time their radio ads would go off, saying, hey, I have a duplex, I have a sixplex, I have a single home. And we would just look at deals every day. And when I say look at deals, we would not physically go there. We'd look at the numbers, because it's all about, firstly, you get it. If the numbers don't work, there's no use wasting our time or their time to look at the building. So we just crunch numbers and find the ones that would make financial sense. And again, we always had to make sure to have an exit strategy. So before, If I didn't feel confident that I could pay them back, we would not purchase the property. And that happened all the time. We would look at some properties and the cash flow was okay, but then we'd think, well, how am I going to pay them back in 4 years or 5 years, depending on the term? And if I wasn't sure, then we would not buy it, because that's how people fail, is when they cannot pay them back. And for us, we've we've fast forward, we've already paid back about seven of them, like four.
Yeah, that's the point. We paid out of the 12 from that year, we paid back seven already. And we had 5-year terms, so we're 3 years early.
Wow.
Which is a great problem to have, right? So our cash flow is going to go up. Plus the credibility, right? The investors and the owners or the sellers love it because you got a 5-year deal, I pay you back in year two all your money. So right.
And now what's happening is that those people obviously trust us, so they'll tell their friends about it, or they have other buildings. Guess who they want to sell it to, knowing that, you know, we're able to pay them back and that our businesses, obviously we're properly structured and it's important to us, and we make sure that we have that exit strategy. So they want to do it again. So we have a couple of people that, hey, as soon as you pay us back, and we're just doing some refis to pay out a few more actually in the next couple of months, they want to proceed and do more with us. So it's
yeah, once you do it, it's like a bicycle. Once you do it, the reputation and the knowledge, it just kind of keep going, guys.
And give them a reason to trust you. Why, if you're going to do it, why should somebody invest? Because ultimately, they're investing in you. They're trusting you with their money. Why should somebody invest with Melanie and Dave? Well, I can give you 1,000 reasons, right? Because we've proven we only buy the cash flowing properties. We have exit strategies. We have our team behind us. If something with our property management as well, our vacancy rate is always zero. We have waiting lists. We can't keep up. So vacancies are never an issue. So if you're somebody trying to do that, to get a private lender, you have to have your reasons, and you should know them and be confident in them if you want to sell to somebody. What's your credit score? All those kind of things, it's information that you should be willing to share with somebody, because otherwise I know I wouldn't be sharing my money with just anyone. Mm-hmm. So make sure that you have reasons why they should invest with you.
So can we talk just a little bit about that process? Because we went over a lot there. So maybe starting in thinking about how to find vendor take-back mortgages. First of all, you talked about some of the strategies that you had put together, you know, being on the radio, for example. How are you finding these people? Like, how did you take a proactive approach?
Well, I'm just thinking back to when we first started. So yeah, like Melanie said, the ads, the radio, everything, and then they would call us. And it's all in the conversation. And even the places that were up for sale on different avenues, I would email them saying, you know, hey, are you open to creative financing? Most of the time they don't know what that is, and you go over with them. So it's really reaching out. You're putting yourself out there. Sometimes it's uncomfortable and you get hard no's, but it is what it is, right? You don't know unless you ask. So it was doing that. Word of mouth too, contacting all the realtors and just saying, hey, you know, and getting that buzz out there, getting that word, that kind of, you know, contacting the realtors that do a lot of commercial, do a lot of multifamily. Hey, if you have someone that's willing to hold, I've got a bank that's willing to say yes, you know, and they'll bring it to you. And then, hey, you can double end it. So what realtor doesn't want to double end a deal, right? So that's the incentive there. The other thing too, guys, is I would go on, and I still do it sometimes actually, because I find it fun. It's kind of not going fishing, but I still go on, you know, Kijiji or wherever people post apartments for rent. And I'll just say, like, let's say, hey, you own a place and you're going to have it up for rent. I'll just say, hey, I'm a real estate investor. I'm looking to buy places. If ever you're interested in selling, contact me. And sometimes I'll say, those guys like, no, why are you, stop bothering me? But sometimes people will say, yeah, in the future I will. And they have. So it's just, you're going at them from different points or different kind of angles. And I have nothing against real estate agents, but some people don't want to deal with realtors. They want to go lawyer to lawyer. They want to save that fee. So you're coming at them, you know, they post a ad on Kijiji to rent out their place. And they've got someone saying, hey, if ever you go to sell, let me know. I'll buy it if the numbers are good. Like, if someone, who knows what's going on in their life, if they need to sell, they, you just put that bug in their ear.
And Dave, sorry to cut you off there, but are these people that you're targeting, are they actually, do they own multifamily buildings typically? Are you looking at individual units as well, condos, individual condo units as well that people are renting out?
Our bread and butter is multifamily.
So it would be a multifamily complex typically.
Yeah.
Yes. We have a few residential, but no, it's that was more when we started off. We had those, but now it's multifamily is what we specialize in.
The other thing too, and the MLS system, and I was actually looking at some stuff in Vancouver. You can go in and type in the filters. You can go in the commercial section and type in VTB, or you can type in owner financing or a couple of buzzwords like that. And it's becoming more and more, not acceptable, but it's more and more people understand it. So some people, like some listings will just say it, VTB available for, you know, qualified purchaser, owner financing available upon, you know. So people are putting it right in the ads now too. So that's another way of finding it as well.
And so what, when you actually, so when you're engaging people and you actually get somebody that seems interested, what does a dialogue typically look like? Like what does a conversation, what are you trying to, what's the information that you're trying to get from the owner?
What I'm trying to, I want to know their, I guess not their why, but their why and their what. So, you know, why are they selling? And the what is where it comes to the, what they need out of the deal. So some people, is, hey, I bought this property for my, you know, my kids to go to school. You know, it was a fourplex. They rented one unit. The other three paid for, you know, they're the building for the kids, but they're done school now. So, hey, I don't need this building. So they want to get rid of it, right? They don't want to deal with it anymore. Some people, it's, I want a certain closing date, you know, it's September right now, but I don't want to close till January 2020 due to tax reasons. Okay, so hey, let's get under contract and we'll close whenever you want, whatever works for you, right? Some people love it, the vendor takes back the owner financing again, because they get to spread that capital gains over 5 years. Like one guy, I think we bought three or four, and same thing, he just wanted to play around with the capital gains to legally save on taxes. So it's really talking to the owner and seeing what they want and then coming up with a win-win. Like, okay, you know, you want this gone in a month, that's fine, but I'm going to need you to help me with financing. I'm going to need you to, you know, if a unit becomes vacant, I show it, I rent it at the rent that I want. So it, honestly, guys, it's just a back and forth. You know what we need out of the deal, and then we compromise to see what they want. And then, hey, if it still makes cash flow and it still makes sense at the end of the day, why not?
And a big part of it, and Dave touched on it just very briefly, but I think it's very important to remember, is that, because it sounds, you know, you're listening to a podcast and like, oh, okay, well, that sounds really rosy, but we got a lot of no's. You know, it does not always work out. People don't always want to, whether it's because they want to get out or they're not interested, or perhaps they just don't feel comfortable or whatever the reason is. So yes, we bought 12 in 12 months. And that was one of the strategies, but we put in a lot more than 12 offers that did not work out. So we were very aggressive. We put in a lot of offers. A lot of them did not work out, but 12 of them did.
Yeah, no. And the other thing too, is just because a seller is willing to offer you, like just because you can walk into a deal 100% financed, we've had offers and we still say no. Like we say no, because if you're buying a building that's completely turnkey, there's no way to lift the rent, there's no appreciation left in the building. Well, okay, yeah, you finance the building, but what am I going to do to increase the value to turn around and refinance it and pay you out? So sometimes those turnkey buildings, they don't work for us because of that. So that's something to know, unless the rents are super, you know, it's a turnkey building, but the rents are super low. So that's your exit strategy is so, so important. And that's kind of where the person we had talked to had failed, because they were hoping on appreciation. They were hoping on, and the market didn't cooperate.
Right.
So control the things you can control. Yeah. And although it's attractive, you know, because you think, hey, I'm basically getting this house or this apartment for free. I'm not putting any of my own money in. It's very attractive. That's great. But you have to pay them back in 5 years. How are you going to pay back $100,000?
The day will come, right?
The day will come. So make sure you're prepared. Yeah. And I mean, our strategy is always pay them back early. Before then, right? To pay them back early, and they'll be happy. So,
and with any, and sorry, I'm going to put a little spiel here. But like for any private or private lending or private investor thinking, you know, or wanting to invest with anyone, like our whole mentality behind it, and we're dead serious about this. I tell the banks this when I'm looking them dead in the eye. My mentality is, I will sell my house. You know, all kids, we're going to live in one of the rentals. I'll sell my house before I don't pay a lender back, because that's, once your reputation's gone, it's gone. And then the other thing too is, I never want to lose that golden goose. I can buy another house, I can figure it out, but I'm never ever going to let those rental properties not get paid, or you know what I mean? Because that's, that's our family's golden goose. So I'll sell my house before I lose it.
So a few things, just in thinking about that, like I'm trying to get a sense of the difference in our markets. Like North Bay and Vancouver, obviously very different places. Can you give, there's about 10 questions here, but one is kind of the price of a door that you guys, even in when you started out and you're buying kind of single family or single residential units, like what are the price points?
Yeah. And right now North Bay's kind of in a, not going to lie, we're in a perfect storm. The prices are good. The cap rates are between 8 and 11. And the vacancy is like, well, the city, I think, is around 2 or 3%, but like Mel was saying, we're typically around zero. And that's not bragging. It's just, we have lists. Like I said, perfect storm. So the per door price here is roughly 80 to 100, for multifamily. And whenever you get about 7 or 8 doors or more in a building, it kind of, you know, that kind of goes by the window, and it decreases a bit depending. Mm-hmm. But no, nowhere near your market. Like, what do you guys have? 4% cap rate there, ish, like Toronto.
If you get that,
if you're lucky, yeah.
And the play, like that's the thing too. I was talking to someone about this the other day. It's a different play because my building is never going to appreciate as much as it will as your building would in Vancouver. So I might make more cash flow per month. However, and I'm not familiar with this, so I'm not even going to speculate. This, the Vancouver market is. Or Toronto, if I was there, I'd play the appreciation game, I think. Whereas I know I'm not going to make a high cash flow, but, you know, and who knows if the bubble, like where they're at, but your building is going to appreciate a lot more in 2 years than my building in North Bay. So that might be the play to do in Toronto and Vancouver. That's the angle I would be doing if I was there, or investing in a market like that has a perfect storm like North Bay.
Right.
And that's the thing. It depends what the person wants at the end, right? So for us, we're looking at, we like the monthly cash flow. We want growth, of course, as well. And it's nice. We're certainly not growing as quickly as Toronto or Vancouver. But it, again, as Dave mentioned, it's the perfect storm. So there is some growth, and you also have that monthly cash flow. And we're getting more and more calls from people from Toronto and across Canada contacting us saying, hey, I want to buy a property with you guys. Help me find that property. Which is great because now we're able to do that more and more. And of course, we'll work with the private lender and say, well, what are you looking for? Are you looking, do you have $50,000? Do you have $250,000 to invest? Do you want your money back in a year? Do you want it back in 5 years? And we can also do the same thing with RSPs now, which is amazing.
Yeah.
So with all of that, we're able to, that's how our goal now is to get to 1,000 doors in the next 5 years, and we're on track, and that's how we'll be able to do that now with these new strategies.
And so in just thinking about the differences in the market, can you talk a little bit about what makes a good deal when you guys are looking at deals? I know cash flow is key, but what you're looking for and if your perception of a good deal has changed over the process of buying so many properties?
Yes. And I find, to be honest with you, the number one thing now is what's your time worth? Like, and that's very, very personal to each person. So what's your time worth? So before, I used to want to buy a duplex that made $500. And to someone, that might be a lot of money. To me right now, I don't want to tie my financing. Like, we've got a building under contract right now that I think makes $8,000 net a month. So like my taste has changed. So we're looking at buying things now. So that being said, I'm digressing here. That being said, it's really your choice. And the perfect deal is what your time is worth, how much of your financing you want to use, and how much of your time you want to use. So we see deals all the time. Like, there was a big building, 22 units, beautiful, sexy building. You know, it's the typical real estate, you know, brick and mortar that you want. However, for 22 tenants, it made $1,000 a month, and it needed a lot of money. So what's your time worth? We could buy, you know, a duplex, a triplex that makes the same amount of money, and I'm only having to deal with 3 sets of tenants as opposed to 22. So the deals can be attractive. It just depends on what you're looking for and what you're willing to do. And how much of it you're willing to do. Does that make sense, guys? Mm-hmm. I don't know if I answered the question.
Yeah, totally. That works. And on a, like, one thing that strikes me is this is more of a kind of back to basics here, but it sounds like without the intermediaries, like you guys are dealing with sellers directly, like, can you talk about how that negotiation goes? Like, what in terms of making offers, you're making a lot of offers that are not going anywhere, like anyone, it sounds like. Can you just talk about that process and how you approach making an offer and actually literally getting a, you know, you mentioned win-win before, but getting a good deal in the negotiation process?
Well, I think to have a good deal, you have to have a win-win. So we, and I guess, you know, one of our mistakes before when we started off is that Mel and Dave wanted to win, and that was kind of our philosophy. And throughout the years, we realized that when you make win-win partnerships or, you know, a sell and buy situation, then that's when the perfect deal is. So it kind of goes back again to talking to the sellers, finding out what's important to them. And depending on the situation, if somebody's, for example, wants to hold a VTB, perhaps I'm willing to pay a little bit more if the numbers make sense. If somebody wants to lend me their money longer, then I can use it longer, then the percentage will be a little bit higher. If they don't have to have it on an actual property, so if they just say, hey, Mel, Dave, you know, I love what you guys are doing. I trust you guys. Put $100,000. You're going to still be secured by Mel and Dave and your GP Properties, which is our business.
Yeah, the global portfolio.
Yeah, the global portfolio. So there's still security, just not on one specific building. Then again, that provides us with more flexibility. So we'll reward that with a bit of a higher percentage.
Yeah, and more of like the step-by-step, guys, which is, I see a building, I want the numbers. Like Mel said, we don't go wasting our time. Like, I'll look on Google Earth. I love driving around looking at buildings, so I might waste a little bit of time on that. But I want to see the income and expense. And then from there, I do my cash flow analysis, which again is basic. You know, are the ins greater than the outs? And for the amount of doors, is it worth the time? And after that, just talk to the seller and say, I'm thinking this, what do you want? And just find out their why and their what. You know, they want this timeline, they want this price, or they want a certain percent of interest. So then you get your why and what in there. And then once you guys agree on it, I contact my lawyer and say, hey, can you drop an offer? They drop the offer and I hand deliver it to the seller and they bring it to their lawyer. They look it over. They usually have to talk to their accountant because it's owner financing and they want to make sure tax wise, how is it going to affect me? And which is great. I'd rather than talk to their accountant than just take my word for it. Right. But that's basically how it goes. And after that, it goes to the bank once we have the signed offer. So it's pretty... Sellers are eager to, and again, I've got nothing against realtors. The realtors have been good to us, but sellers are eager to just do the deal themselves. So it's not really fighting them on it. It works pretty well.
And once in a while, you'll have somebody that says, hey, I'd rather deal with an agent. And that's, again, completely fine. It's at the end of the day, what do you need to feel comfortable? Well, I don't feel comfortable selling my house without having an agent, you know, involved and making sure I'm getting fair market price, and then let's do it. Let's contact your agent and let's keep rolling. So don't put barriers for yourself when you're trying to negotiate. Work with the seller and make sure they feel comfortable.
Yeah, and I'm just, as Mel was saying that, I was just thinking too, we've got an agent here in the city. He knows exactly how we roll, for lack of better, but he knows how we do things. So whenever he lists a property, rental property, he'll ask the seller right away, are you open to owner financing or vendor take back? If they say yes, you know, he sends us the numbers. The other thing is, if it's another agent that has the listing, we always make sure to go through our agent because we know that he's going to explain it. Because not everyone gets it, and that's okay, right? So they'll make sure to explain to the other realtor what the reasoning is, why we want this, you know, and what the benefits are. We've even had it sometimes where our agent has literally presented it himself. He sat down at the table. If there was a $2 million deal last year, we put an offer in. We didn't end up closing it, but he literally sat down for an hour with the seller and with the seller's agent and said, this is why Mel and Dave want this. This is their exit strategy. Like, he basically sold you sold it. So mm-hmm. having that is invaluable, right? Having an agent that gets it and that is willing to go to the seller himself and talk to them, that's crazy, right?
No, absolutely. Well, and so the other question here, I'm just thinking about the vacancy rate in the North Bay area, but also that you guys have a 0% vacancy rate. How do you manage to keep your properties occupied? And are you doing the property management yourself?
No, it sounds like you've built a pretty good strong team.
Yes, thank you. So when we started off, Dave and I, we did everything ourselves, and then we founded our company, which is Dupree Properties. And that's, I mean, I think a big part of it was being very vocal. We had, you know, as I mentioned, radio ads, billboards, magazine ads, we all over Facebook, all over Instagram. So we were very visible. So people, we were top of mind. We also provided, we didn't lock people in. So we don't sign 1-year contracts, because our philosophy is that we want you to stay with Dupree Properties because you like us, not because you have to. And people love it, right? When, as soon as you sign a contract with somebody, you're stuck. So people are loving that. And most people, you know, they stay past the year anyhow. And the reality is, if they're going to leave, they're going to leave regardless. Mm-hmm. So just providing value to our customers. We provided them with gift baskets when they were moving in. We're pet friendly. We would try to do something special to different people, whether it's, when somebody's dog was sick, we'd drop off a little gift basket for the pup, like just little things. And we can't do that for every single tenant, but once in a while, you know,
we'll just, out there, people will hear about that.
We appreciate it. So just, you know, treat them like you want to be treated. I rented it my entire time I was in college and I seen the good, bad and ugly. And I promised myself that I would never be the type of landlord that I had to deal with that sometimes. And doing that. So now Dave and I are a bit more hands off, but we do have an amazing team. So we actually do property management for our own company, and we also do property management for other people. So we have a lot of people, for example, that are purchasing from Toronto. They want us to manage it on their behalf. So we rent out their places for them, and we manage it.
Vancouver as well?
Yeah, that's right. We do.
Vancouver, there's one, is it Alberta?
Saskatchewan.
Yes. And then, a couple from Toronto.
Yep.
We're looking for more Vancouver people.
Yeah, so if you're from Vancouver and you're North Bay seeking your interest, whether you're a private lender or want to purchase, give us a call.
But, and we always hear about it, and you live there, but the people that, you know, bought their house years ago and now they sell it and it's worth, like, so much more than what they first bought. Like, that's awesome that you guys have that. Like, I know it's not good when you're trying to buy it right now, but for those people that lucked out, good for them.
It's only good if you leave the market, Dave. or if you take that.
Buy something again. Fair enough.
Unless you refinance.
Yeah,
you refinance. Put that money to work for you.
Yeah, sure. Exactly. Sure. In North Bay. So one question that we always ask, and it sounds like is a question that you guys asked quite a few people when you were getting started. What was your biggest, or what was one of your biggest mistakes?
I've got a couple.
How much time do we have?
We have time for a couple.
Okay. I'm going to say the typical cheesy one, not cheesy, I should say, but not being scared, but just not acting quick enough. Like just like, it's so simple now in my head. Like, it just figure it out as you go. Like, I forget, someone had told me once, you know, if you drive to New York from Los Angeles, if you wait till every light is green, you're never going to get there. Just go get to the next red light, figure it out, you know, and keep going. Like, as you go along, you'll figure it out. And it's not rocket science. When we had our first non-payment of rent, oh, geez, I look it up on Google. Okay, serve the paperwork. Just do it. Just go out and do it, and you'll figure it out as you go. And that's the best way to learn. That's the cheesy one that everyone kind of says, but it's so real.
For me, one that I can think of was just not really doing my due diligence and perhaps being a bit naive when I started. And I purchased a property. This was before I knew Dave, but I purchased a property and it was a house. And I thought, well, I'm going to make a granny suite in the basement. So to, you know, to have the value. And I thought I was very brilliant. for thinking that. I did, and did renovations. And a couple of years down the road, once I was, Dave and I were together at that point, we got a knock on the door saying, hey, you guys have an illegal basement apartment. So we had to get rid of the tenants and sell the property.
Yeah.
And it kind of worked out well because we still ended up making a bit of money, but it was certainly, and we, that was the only one. But now we don't mess around. We do everything by the book. And that one was more of a naive. I just didn't really realize that I couldn't do it.
And that, guys, we did a refinance, right? So the appraiser walked through, called the city to verify the zoning. And that's when, this is a duplex, correct? I said, no.
Oh.
And then not the appraiser, you know, but it was innocent. And they called to verify the zoning for the report. And that's what got us hung up. So we had to sell it.
Yeah. So we learned our lesson, though. We don't even take, you know, whoever's worked for it, whether it's the seller or the agent. We do our due diligence. So that means we call the city directly and say, this is the address I'm buying.
Yeah, I want to hear it directly from the horse's mouth. I call this. She knows me well. I call her. Okay, what address do you want, Dave? This address. What's the zone? What's the legal use? And I don't say anything, right? Even if it's none of my business.
Right.
So if it's operating as a 7-plex and it's zoned as a 5, I don't want to get, you know, that's the seller's thing. So anyway, but I just want to know what I'm getting into.
Yeah, we're just confirming. We're never putting anybody in a situation where, you know, they're stuck having to sell if they don't want to. It's just, we're just confirming, hey, well, and that's what you can ask. How many apartments, or, you know, is it a duplex or a triplex, and how is it zoned?
Now, another one, guys, I know you wanted one, but I'm just thinking back, it was tougher when we had less. So I know that sounds ridiculous, but once we hit about, when we had 4, 5, 6, I think I was taking time off work. I was running around. I was trying to do things myself, fixing, looking up, because I'm not a handy guy at all. So I was looking up on YouTube how to fix toilets. And I'm like, oh, okay, what do you call it, the ring? And having to go back to Home Depot and saying, I need that wax ring or whatever. So things like that. Silly. I know it sounds, but once we realize, okay, take the time, pay someone else to do it, and, you know, be what you are. So I'm a numbers guy. I'm looking at deals. So do that, Dave. Hire the plumber. Get the plumber to do that. And I know it's all cash flow and that, but once we stopped trying to be everything, it got easier. And then as we bought more and we had people helping, it got just easier. So the more buildings we have, the easier it gets. And I know that doesn't make sense, but it, in a way, it's kind of the way it goes.
And it's amazing because now we can really concentrate on what we love, which is looking at buildings and, you know, and buying and finding those cash flowing properties, and now being more hands off. So we have a property manager, for example. He's the one doing the viewing, taking care of the tenants overall. He also has an assistant. So that means that we're able to be more hands off and really concentrate on continuing to grow. And again, we're looking in North Bay. We're also looking across Canada, trying to find those amazing cash flowing properties. So we got to look at tons of them to find the one. So it gives us more time to do so.
Yeah. And just to, like when Mel and I were doing everything, so that's, we both had full-time jobs and then we're both, so you're what? You're looking at 40 hours a week times two. And I know I'm using very basic numbers. So you're looking at 80 hours a week. Now that we have 5 people working with us and plumbers and all that. So, you know, with that 40 times 5, that's 200 hours.
That we just freed.
Now we're working 200 hours a week. You know what I mean? Like, it's just leveraging. Like we said earlier, leveraging time, leveraging money, leveraging relationships, leveraging knowledge. It's infinite once you start leveraging.
Those are some great mistakes. And I think our listeners are going to learn a lot from them. And it sounds like we might have buried the lead here because you guys retired before you were 40. I'm not sure if you're 40 now, but presumably that was in the last year or two you guys quit your day jobs and started doing this full time?
Yeah, so that was my goal. My ultimate goal was to quit my full-time job. And at the beginning of the podcast, I mentioned we always had a reason behind things, right? If I buy 3 more, I can buy the vehicle of my dreams. If I do this, I can do this. And then once we started more and more, we thought, well, if I buy another 12 properties, I can have more than enough cash flow to cover my wage. And I had a great job. I had a great unionized job with a pension and everything, benefits. you know, so taking all of that into consideration, once I did that, then I knew that we were going to be able to do that. And yeah, so that's kind of when I was able to finally do it once we had enough properties. And
yeah. Yeah, and I'm not 40 yet, so
he's younger than me, so he just wants to make sure to brag about that. He's only 34.
Oh my god.
So, I'm 33.
And you wow.
That's
why. Okay.
Yeah, we started 7 years ago.
Yeah.
What would that make me? 25, 26, whatever. Anyway, 26, 25, 27. But that's why it's like, just get started. I wish I would have started at 20. I wish I would have started when I read that book in high school, and I should have. But anyway, it's never too late.
Yeah. And maybe as a final question for you guys, it sounds like everything's in North Bay, but you're looking at other markets. Are there any markets you're particularly excited about in Canada right now?
Well, there's some, like, just an hour west from us, Sudbury. We're 50,000. They're about almost three times the size. So we are, and it's only an hour away from us, right? So that one's kind of attractive. Where was I looking? Was it Winnipeg? I was looking at Winnipeg the other day, a couple of buildings, and there's somewhere south. No, I forget the name, but it's like secondary markets is really where we're looking. Like the big Ottawa's on fire, Vancouver's on fire, Toronto. And I know Winnipeg's still a big city, but it's mostly the secondary markets. But again, I'm on MLS every day. Love it.
Yeah.
And, so it's really, yeah, those are kind of where I'm looking right now. North Bay is obviously easier because I'm just right here and it's easier. You're at home. I get it. I get the market, but those are kind of, Sudbury, I think, will be the next purchase.
Because it's a natural extension for us. We can also extend our Dupree property services there as well. Now that we have all our systems developed, it's something that we can extend there as well.
Windsor as well. That's right. We've got a realtor there in Windsor. We reached out to us a couple of buildings. They look good. We just need to finalize some stuff. So those are kind of where we're looking. That's where we've seen some cool stuff so far.
Well, maybe we'll leave it there. But Dave and Mel, for people that are looking for more information about what you guys are doing, how can they find you?
Yes, absolutely. Well, we have our company's website, which is DupreeProperties.com, D-U-P-U-I-S properties.com. We're also on Instagram, investorcouple_Mel_Dave. And if you hear, or if you like what you're hearing today, we're always adding, we also do little clips all the time. We are doing IGTVs, a couple times a week. So we're posting videos and tips and things that we're learning or mistakes we've made. So give us a follow and you'll be able to hear more about what we're doing there as well. We also have a YouTube as well that we're just working on. It's going to be live pretty soon.
Yeah, and we've got an Amazon, like you were saying earlier, an Amazon best-selling book, Real Estate Investing Secrets, a no BS guide to, I think it's Wealth or Freedom.
Creating Wealth and Freedom, yes.
Got to read your own book, Dave.
Yeah, there you go. It's only 88 pages on purpose. We want it to be quick and dirty, short. You know, you could read it in one sitting. So read the book, and it's kind of like an insight and motivation.
It's a quick overview of how we did it, basically. So yeah. It's the beginner's guide to how to get started.
That's fantastic. Well, thanks again for taking the time, you guys.
Oh, thank you.
Our pleasure. We loved it. Thank you so much.
Yeah,
for having us.
That was great. Thanks. Thank you so much. A lot to think about there.
Awesome.
Great.
Appreciate
well, thank you so much.
So there you have it, folks, our discussion with Mel and Dave Dupuis.
Really enjoyed that conversation. And really, invest by numbers, Matt. This is a great episode.
Yeah. You know what? I love, there was so much to unpack in, you know, I felt like Dave or Mel would say like three, four lines and I'd be like, okay, now I have seven more questions.
Right.
But I think we covered it. I think it was a great conversation. And that whole idea of, you know, focus on what you know and scale.
Totally.
And don't let the fear get you down.
That's, no.
Because Dave is kind of an incredible guy. He's, what, 34 or something like that. Owns 100 doors and he feels like he's let life pass him by.
I know. I felt like giving Dave a shake through the phone and saying, don't worry, you got time.
Absolutely. But it is kind of incredible what those guys have done. It is. It is for sure. And you know what? I love, and I mean, we talked a little bit about this in the intro, but I love that they're sitting somewhere in a tropical destination on vacation with their kids and they say, you know what? It's go time. And then they got it done.
And this kind of practical approach, right? Like, I want a new car. Well, how many more doors do we need? What kind of cash flow do we need to get that? Or, hey, we want to go on a vacation. Or, hey, we want to retire. All these things, they've done it all very quickly. It sounds very creatively as well. And it was a fantastic conversation. So what else do we got?
Matt, we also have, we talked about it last time, we've got a book. It's not even a guide now because it's growing. It's growing into what
we've been in the lab for like all week here
with a pen and a pad. It's unbelievable. We've got this book now is getting, and it's mostly because of you. You're a real stickler for prose.
What I like to do is I really like to get the prose right, and I also partly inspired by Mel and Dave, who are best-selling authors.
Yeah.
I think we got to really unpack these ideas.
Well, you know what? The ideas are definitely being unpacked, and this guide is going to be available. We had to go back and revise a few sections on account of Matt's red pen.
Yeah. But it's going to be readable, guys.
It's going to be readable. Super readable.
It's almost as good as Larry Beasley's prose in this little book called Vancouverism we're giving away.
Exactly. And speaking of that book, Matt, we do have a winner for today. That winner is Secret. Drumroll.
The winner today is Al Mock.
Al Mock. Congratulations. And Al wrote, great podcast for Matt and Adam. They have informative conversations with very knowledgeable individuals ranging from real estate news, government policies, to economics and fun facts.
Well, thank you very much, Al.
Thank you, Al.
That is great. And you got a signed copy of Vancouverism coming to you. And we appreciate that review. We appreciate all the reviews.
We do.
And what else do we got today? We got the VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com.
Yeah, Matt, what can people find there?
Well, you can sign up. We should say one more time. We're sending out those stats today. That's for everyone who signed up to the live wire. We also got the deal of the month. We got an assignment at cost right now going out as the new deal of the month. We also got private client services.
We do, Matt. And before I get to my spiel on private client services, I just want to say, if you want a copy of that seller's guide, an advanced copy, do get in touch with us and request it. We're also available for doing comparative market analysis for you. If you are thinking of selling this fall, this is a good time. The market is definitely picking up. We're looking at some of the busiest months of the year right now, and it is definitely time to sell if you are planning and selling in 2019.
And before we get to our regular private client services pitch here, Adam, we should say,
it's not really a pitch, Matt. It's a service announcement. It's really.
But let's talk about this seller's guide because, well, I don't want to spoil it.
No, here's what it is. Here's what it is. We're putting together the absolute best seller's guide for people that want to sell their property for top dollar in as quickly as possible and without headaches, basically. That's what it is. And we're spending a ton of time on it. And what I'm really excited about is this is going to actually change the way you get ready to list your property. And really, this is probably one of your biggest assets. So you need to focus on this time and really, really get it right. And Matt, we can help you with that.
We absolutely can help you, but we should say there's no obligation, no cost with this.
For sure.
But we do sell properties. Yeah. We do sell a lot of properties.
We sell a lot of properties, but get in touch and we can send you an advanced copy of the seller's guide. We're also available for doing comparative market analysis for your home. This was a busy summer.
It was.
July and August was a busy summer. This is a good time to list your property.
While the fall is the second busiest market of the year traditionally, but this year I can almost guarantee it's going to be busier in the spring.
I'll take that guarantee.
What else do we got? We got private client services.
We do, Matt. And if you are not using PCS, you are standing still while the rest of us power walk by. You get sold prices, days on market. You basically get realtor level information at your fingertips. We've tried them all. This is the best research tool out there. And I got to say, if you know anyone who's using PCS, just ask them because they will tell you how much they enjoy using this research tool. And we have so many clients that have several accounts. I have several accounts. You have several accounts.
Yeah, I got four or five.
It's the best way to monitor the market. It's free. It's at VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com.
And if you want to talk about that or anything else real estate related or otherwise, I'm thinking Succession, 778-847-2854 or matt@vancouverrealestatepodcast.com.
Or you can try me at 778-866-4574 or Kendall Roy at vancouverrealestatepodcast.com.
We also got that bar on the floor line.
info@vancouverrealestatepodcast.com.
Have a great week, guys.
Yeah, welcome to the fall. It's exciting times.
Enjoy your trip.
Faces for Radio.
Subscribe today.
Hey everyone, pardon the interruption. We just want to take a quick minute to thank the following sponsors who make this show possible.
This podcast is sponsored by Common Ground Consulting.
Are you developing in the Lower Mainland? Common Ground Consulting is a development management and consulting company with experience in single family, townhouses, multifamily, and commercial developments.
What I love about Common Ground, Adam, is they manage the whole development process, from due diligence and feasibility reports for initial purchase of land to completing rezoning, development permits, and building permits.
They streamline the whole process with strong relationships with sub-consultants and municipalities and a deep understanding of all city requirements.
Common Ground Consulting. Feasibility and efficiency prioritized every step of the way.
Learn more at commonground-consulting.com or 604-807-6419.
We are also sponsored by Oakwin Realty. This is our real estate brokerage, best brokerage in the city, hands down. If you are in the industry, a new agent, an aspiring agent, somebody just looking to make a change, new culture, new energy, new resources, head over to oakwin.com/join, type in VRP 2020. That's oakwin.com/join, type in VRP 2020. Not only do you get to meet Michael Morgan and the gang, the bigwigs over at Oakwin, you get a huge incentive for first going to oakwin.com/join, typing in VRP 2020.